Welcome everyone to the We Are All Aliens podcast with Dominic J. Zenden and Jackie Seiden. How you doing, Dominic?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. I like to call it the Wah podcast.
That's correct. The We Are All Aliens or the Wah podcast. Just to introduce who we are and what we're doing here, Dominic has a gift like no other. He sees auras, but not just auras like you've heard around people. He sees auras of all things. He has been reading colors in the world since he was a wee lad.
very wee.
Yeah. And he is going to be here sharing his perspective on all kinds of topics, things you've maybe even never thought of that will, I promise you, blow your mind. And I will be here to ask questions, receive information, and to add my perspective of love. Everything is right in the universe. And it's going to lead to some very interesting conversations, we both believe. And we hope you agree.
I think we will. I think we'll just spring off and just carry on as naturally as we possibly can.
Exactly. So I just wanted to start today by asking you, Dominic, may I call you Dom? I know I may, so.
Of course you may. Yeah, no formalities here.
Right. So now that we're starting, just to give the people a sense of what you do, how do I look to you today? What are you seeing? How am I appearing?
You're in the pink. You really are. You've got quite a nice pink inner aura around you, which means that you're not too badly rested, not too badly. You're not frustrated about things, not angry about anything. You're quite chilled out. It's probably been, you know, a bit of a meditation time for you, a bit of a relaxation time, and you're feeling good. You mean around the top of your head, there's a yellow area, which is very self-explanatory. That's all about being able to be in the imagination zones and being able to think about the imagination and how that affects us. So you're in the right mindset to talk about absolutely anything. And your outer aura is very orange today. It's the shell, which is the energy bit. And you've got a load of energy in there. So you're early. Yeah, I mean, you're woke, you're good. Yeah, I mean, you're coming out of probably just being a bit more heightened than what you would normally be. So you're in a good place right now. Really
well,
good.
Well, just to let you know, I did just meditate before we started and I had an insane morning, which you are, I think, responding to with the orange outer aura, very lots of ups and downs.
Yeah.
But ended up at a good place, but it was already a full roller coaster this morning. So happy to be back in alignment. And can I ask you a question? Can you see your own aura?
Yeah, of course. I look in the mirror.
How are you looking?
I'm looking tired. Yeah, I mean, I've been busy day today. Yeah, you know, I've been all over the world today talking to different people at different places and just finished sorting out Malta, which is a big conference there. And, you know, there's so much going on and everybody wants a little piece. So yeah, it's been sure. Quite hectic. And just to get a time perspective, we're now 7 p.m. at night in England and Jackie's 11 a.m. So, you mean, I've sort of come to the end of my day where everything has been sorted out and Jackie's just starting her day, really, and just starting to just relax a little bit and get ready to enjoy the rest of the day. So our auras do change with the perspective of time, even though time does not exist. So it's amazing, isn't it? We can be here on this level at this moment, and it doesn't matter what the time is, does it? It does not matter.
It doesn't matter.
But our auras do alter as we get through our day and we start to drain of energy. The outer orange of the aura starts to get a bit more diluted and you start seeing people become a little bit more jaded, a little bit more run down. And then you actually see the inner colors starting to dilute as well as they're trying to protect the outer aura, because the outer aura is the shell of the energy of the body. So you get a lot of indications of what time of day it is for a person, depending on when you see them and how their day has been up to that point.
That is remarkable. I'm going to say right now, you know this about me, that I always get really self-conscious when we talk, because I know that you can see the aura is changing. And so you can sort of follow along with how I'm feeling and what I'm thinking in a way that no one else could. And so I feel very vulnerable.
Yeah, great. I love that. It's really good.
It's great. Really nice for you.
I know. The hardest thing when you're doing auras or you're watching people and you're seeing colors all the time is just to ignore it, because sometimes it's not relevant.
Ignore it?
Yeah, of course I can. I can ignore my wife.
I was just going to ask you about your wife. Yeah, but when you're in an argument with your wife, do you see where she's coming from? Or if she comes to you, let's say, and is frustrated about something, but doesn't want to let on and just says, "Hey, Dom, you know, I was wondering if you could clean your teacup today," or whatever it is. Can you see if there's real frustration behind?
Oh, how English. Your teacup. I don't have teacups.
No, I do. I have teacups. I drink English breakfast tea.
So you're probably more English than
with
me.
Milk, by the way. Yes.
Of course. Not a squeeze of lemon. The interesting part about this is we very rarely argue, because I can normally preempt anything that comes in. So if I see that she's frustrated or a little bit sort of upset about something, I normally step across and ask her, which allows the conversation. And it's the beauty about auras, is that when you look at people's auras, it opens up conversations because you're reading them. And people don't always understand that you can see what they're thinking before they've actually thought it.
Oof. You're translating a vibration, a vibratory energy, and before someone's even translated it to thought or to words in their own mind yet. And so you can intercept in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really strange, because sometimes when people are smiling at you, you know they're not meant to be smiling at you. And there's other times when people are frowning at you, you know that they're not frowning at you. So your actual outer senses get blown. It's almost like I can't trust what my eyes say, or I can't trust what I feel, because I'm seeing something different. And so it's the same anywhere.
This is so great. So that's a great thing to talk about, our senses. Our physical senses being sight, taste tongue.
Yeah.
Anything you can see, taste, touch, feel, those are the senses that most people have relied on their whole lives to receive information. Yeah. But we have our non-physical senses, right? So we have our empathy, our intuition, our direct connection with our inner selves, our emotions, which is the one that people are the most connected to, and our inspirations. And basically what you're talking about is some non-physical senses. Now we all, me being us, the rest of the world, we do have a gut feeling about someone. Let's say they're not smiling at us, but we don't get a sense that they're angry, that they're in the space and their energy is nice. Or we do get senses in some of these other non-physical ways. And we're always trying to develop those non-physical senses essentially, but that you can use your actual sight in a way to interpret.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's normally before the person actually has that appearance on the outside. So my first impressions of the energy field, the frequency of the energy, rather than the sense of feeling somebody. So if I walk into a room with lots of people there, I can pick out the ones that are going to be approachable, the ones that are going to be non-approachable, the people that are really there because they want to be there, and the ones that don't want to be there. So, for instance, if I'm on stage and I'm actually looking over an audience and I'm about to do some work or do something to teach somebody, I will always choose the person who's non-attentive, because their aura is switched off. So I'll always go to them first.
And to turn it also, on.
Yeah, it's great. It's the best way, because you can feel it. And the worst thing about it is that when you're speaking in public, you know the ones that are listening and the ones that aren't listening. And it can be very distracting, because you're like, stop whispering, stop being distracted, stop being on that mobile phone, stop, you know, playing with your computer, listen to what I have to say. And of course, sometimes that's not possible to do that. So you have that sense of people taking part with you or not, which is really useful on a one-to-one, because when you hold someone's attention, you see it as well as sense it. But when you aren't holding their attention, you also see it first, even though they might appear to be smiling at you.
How can we be friends? It's going to be so hard. If I drift off for 2 seconds, you're going to know. And let me ask you a question. When you walk into a room with that many people, do you feel overwhelmed? I mean, or did you maybe when you were younger and as you got older, you sort of learned how to process? That's a lot of information to take in at once.
Yeah, I don't like crowds. I won't go to big, busy events or be in rooms with lots and lots of people now.
Airports.
Yeah, because it's just too much. It's sensory overload, really. And I get to the feeling of not really wanting to be there because I'm feeling a lot of the understandings that they've got, but also the colours, you know, the shifting colours can be, you know, tremendous. You can imagine a room where people are anticipating, their colours are very dormant, very pale, very pastel. And then as soon as maybe a speaker comes on or a musician starts to play, then the colors rise because the energy rises. And as a performer, you would feel the energy rise. You would feel the emotions pick up and you would know the audience are tapping along with you. But you get to see that as well. You see the wave, like a big wave of energy comes rolling in over the stage. And that can be really, really frustrating if the energy is the wrong color, or it can be really wonderful because you're like surfing on that wave of emotion.
Do you ever close your eyes?
Yeah, all the time. all the time.
Just to shut it out for a second?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, can you imagine it, right? Because I'm there all the time with it. It's other things like driving. If you're driving a car, what you're seeing is you're seeing all the colors coming in from the sides.
That's distracting.
I have to wear very sort of darker glasses just to tone down the colors. So I'm not seeing the in-depth colors that are actually going on.
Sunglasses.
Especially, you have to. And you mean I'm not sort of one of these men in black, you know, that wears dark glasses.
No, you're a total rock star walking out with your real dark sunglasses.
But you have to. It's a way of protecting my senses so I don't get bombarded so much by all these people's emotions. So,
what about when you're driving, you're seeing animals? I really wanted to ask you about that. Animals that you see, squirrels. What about ants? Are you seeing auras on little tiny ants? And have you
everything, even the stone and the walls and the road and the
everything
the
is emanates
everything. Everything has a vibration. Everything vibrates. So if everything vibrates, the frequency is what actually denotes the color.
Got it.
So we are like multi-frequency creatures. We keep talking about it as being one frequency. We're not. We're on about 5 or 6 different frequencies. That's why we have all these different colors. Whereas when you look at a tiny little ant, it will resonate on a red or a very sort of diluted, claret sort of color. And then you get the little green ants that resonate on blues. And, you know, so you get lots of different actual energy signatures from lots of different animals. Very rare do you see more than 3 colors around a dog. Very rare you see the 3 colors, you know, mostly. But then if you look at a human being, you can probably see 8 or 9 colors.
So do you feel like when you see a dog approaching you, you know if it's friendly or if it's feeling aggressive? And does that help you approach animals? Do you like animals? Do you have a good relationship with animals?
Adore animals. Absolutely love animals. It does help you approach them. I famously have worked with racehorses, and I've worked with some of the top racehorses that there are. And
I just have to pause because Dom has done, I can't wait for this podcast for you to say, oh yes, I used to work with X, Y, and Z, because you have done everything and it cannot wait. The things that, of course you've worked with racehorses. Like, yeah, I get it. Of course. Okay. I just wanted to say that to everyone listening that there's a lot coming that they are not expecting that you have done.
I'm so lucky. You know, I always feel very fortunate to be able to do it. I must say that as well. I feel blessed that I can do it. But racehorses are very, very sensitive. And what I'm looking at, first of all, is their well-being. Now, a well-being of a racehorse can be a simple thing as putting a radio in its stable so it's got company, because they're they're social animals. They like to stay in herds and be around each other. And sometimes a radio in a horse's box can actually calm them down. And other times it can make them go up in the air. But the relationship they have with the people that train them is so very important, because horses are very sensitive to people. And if somebody is really, really difficult with the horse, the horse knows it. And it will actually put up a lot of energy to fight that person away. And of course, jockeys want to be in control. So what I concentrate a lot on is getting the horses to be able to show which people, which jockeys they can actually work with. So you get some real nice energies.
A match. Yeah. Because they're so empathetic. They're so tuned in to a person's energy. We know that even just by watching and seeing how they respond.
Yes, so responsive, so clearly. And the jockeys that really love the horses and the horse really loves them, they'll do anything for.
Yeah.
But you get a jockey that you don't want to work with and they won't do anything. They really won't. And it's as simple as seeing the energies around the jockey and the horse. And we can, even from that, we can work out the distance they can run, the best races for them, the best time of day for them to run, the best rate, time of year that they feel comfortable. On the whole, horses have to really feel comfortable emotionally to work. Right. And if they feel comfortable emotionally, they will work. You know, I work with two lovely horses. I work with Trev, who was Arc de Triomphe horse. Beautiful horse. He won the Arc de Triomphe twice.
Wow.
And we were lucky enough to be in France to see the second time.
That's amazing.
And I've worked with Footsteps in the Sand, which is a beautiful, beautiful horse that's now sired lots of prodigy. So if you see any Footsteps in the Sand horses, you'll know it's come from this. And he was beautiful. He was an absolute, he was so adorable. He was such a gentleman, but he was a gorgeous horse. So
that's so cool. If we learned anything from Seabiscuit, who should never have won those races because of the injury, but it was the relationship, the emotional connection between the horse and the man together, and the trust.
Really is.
Yeah.
And American horse racing is so different to English horse racing, because in America, they use lots of different injections and drugs and chemicals which are allowed to use on the horses.
Oy.
Whereas in England, it's far stricter. It's far, far stricter. So the horses in America tend to be very agitated before they run.
Yeah, we need to advocate for the horses and all the animals and all the beings.
Yeah, absolutely. If I had my way, they would be treated and there would be only really top people dealing with horses.
Yeah.
Because they're sentient animals, they're intelligent, their personalities, they're amazing creatures, and they're so loyal, but they are also so mistreated in some places. And that really upsets me deeply when I see that.
Of course. And you can really see it. And I'm understanding how you're seeing too. I imagine it's almost like, I never took LSD, but I'm imagining, take LSD, you sort of wave a hand and everything sort of has a trail that they call, like, everything just sort of, or I'm picturing maybe like an old TV box or something, when the image just has, everything has around it a vibration. I'm just in my mind. We're in the 70s and everything just has the colors emanating off of it. Like you said, everything in the universe is vibratory, everything, including our thoughts, everything you can see and everything you can't see. It is really remarkable to be able to see and translate vibrations in the physical form. Unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it's fabulous. And that's why the reports came, the aura profiles came from that. Because when people send me pictures or photographs of animals or people, I can then interpret those colors into things that become things that we can look at and work with and introduce ourselves to ourselves, really. Because the lovely thing about aura profiling, when you capture the energy in a photograph and you can interpret it, is it's the first time people have seen themselves in the way that is explained to them. It really does.
Yes, which is why you've done my parents, you've done my children and my husband, and I read them all the time to learn more about their inner life. Yeah. And reread my own to have insight. It's as if we had 20 years of therapy and we uncovered all these things, but I still wouldn't have gotten and been able to distill parts about myself that you were able to just by reading my aura, especially in the moment the photograph was taking. So you can see the culmination of an entire lifetime in that moment. And I do, I reread them, and it's a real gift. It's a real gift to say, oh, and it gives you compassion, because I'll always say this is a universe of love. We are all love. It's all created from love. And the more information you have, the more you love. And that translates pragmatically to when you read a profile about someone, a parent, let's say, and you have more understanding of who they are and where they're coming from, it opens you up to have more compassion and more tolerance. And that's more love, right? So more information, more love, more information, more love.
Absolutely. And it's amazing the amount of people that I read their parents, they come back and say, I can see that in myself. I can see where I get that comes from. Yeah. I can see why I am like that. I can see where that bit fits.
Oh, there were things that you wrote about my father that I always thought I got from my mother.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, that's a piece of it. Okay. That's that. All right. I see now how this all fits together. And it also sparked these unbelievable conversations between us as well.
Brilliant.
And really beautiful, and more connecting, a deeper understanding, more compassion. And like I said, the more information, the more love. So that's ultimately the goal. So it's incredible.
It starts the conversation. And if we were to go full circle, you think a horse can't speak for itself. If something's not right, when I do a profile for a horse, I can actually show where the horse would want to be, what the horse would want to do. And so I can talk for the horse through the colors, because that's the skill of being able to interpret that particular aura of that particular sentient creature. And it's that communication. And it works for everyone right across the board, from being able to talk to a parent in a different way about a dog who's probably a bit unsettled, even your pet hamster that may want a different wheel. You know, it goes right across the board.
Oh my gosh.
Everything's there.
And I mean, that's everyone's going to say, I want you to, can you read my dog, read my cat, read my hamster, read my snake, read everything. Please let me know. Because the fact that you have the ability to basically talk for animals.
Yeah.
Again, as people who don't see auras yet, because so much is invisible to us, where we can start to do that for ourselves is by honing those non-physical senses, by really becoming aware of your own feelings, aware of other people's feelings, aware of other people's energies. And the more you sort of hone your non-physical senses, then you can sense, let's say your pet is struggling, without your pet being able to say, you will have an inspired thought to do something for your pet.
Yeah,
let's say, get a sweater because your dog is, it's winter and your dog has a short coat and you feel, I'm going to put a sweater on my pup. And you don't know where the idea comes from and you think you're inventing it, but you're not. Whenever you're in alignment, and alignment being whenever you're feeling good, you're not in a state of fear or a state of stress, but you're feeling okay in your skin and you're not seeing as anything is wrong around you, then you receive an inspired idea. You attract ideas. And in that moment, your pup may be basically sending you the inspired idea to put the sweater on him. So I do want to empower people to know that you can do this. Everyone has the ability to sense what others around them need. For example, best example, a mother with her baby.
Absolutely.
You call it a mother's instinct, right? You know what your child needs. You know when your child's hungry, you feel it, or you hear a different kind of cry. You tune into those cues and the clues. Those are all the same thing that we're talking about, that you have that ability to do that with everyone in your life. And Dom, you have this gift to just be able to read it. Other people may have doubts about those inspired ideas and where they're coming from, and am I doing this right? And question it. it's nice to have sort of the empirical evidence in front of you.
Yeah, it's confirmation, isn't it? And one of the loveliest things I ever did when I wrote a report was write a report on twins, mm-hmm. twin babies.
Yeah, sure.
Lovely. It's beautiful because both have different energies. So both are going to be totally different souls and different people as they grow up. But as a parent, isn't it lovely to have an insight into an infant who's maybe only 3 or 4 months old, just to know where they're going to go and what their direction's going to be and what's going to really give them the enthusiasm for their lives. Yeah. And I think that's something that aura profiling really works well with, because we can get to know our children before they can talk to us, before they can demonstrate something to us, so we can be ready for them.
Oh, and you've already given me so much with, you did profiles for my children, and you were talking about so accurately how my son likes to create things with his hands, see how things work. And you even suggested he would really enjoy things like blocks, which we have, but it inspired me to get other toys like that, where he could see the building with his hands and yes. what he's creating. And my daughter at the same age was not into that at all. So this is not, someone listening may say, all kids play with blocks. That's not true. No. Every kid is completely different. My daughter wasn't even interested in toys at all. Yeah, but just the profile, how I approach my children, understanding how their brain works, understanding that my daughter can't stay focused on one thing for more than 5 seconds and going, oh, that really is her. And I see it, and just sort of encouraging her imagination, yes. encouraging the going from one thing to the next and not being, letting it trigger distract. In me. Yeah.
yeah.
Like need to control, where to give her that yeah. freedom.
Yes.
So the profiling really is, I can tell you, is enhancing my relationship, not only with my parents, my husband, but my children. I really see them as much as I thought I knew them before. I'm seeing again their inner life. My son is 18. Oh, I should say my son is 18 months old and my daughter's 4. So for an 18 month old, like you said, I can't ask him. Like, you can't ask the horse.
No, you can't. Yeah. It's so nice to have that confirmation of how you're sensing something is right, because you're the mum. You know your children, you know their moods, you know their temperaments, you know who they are, and you know their temperaments as soon as they're born. Mm-hmm. Because you get some children that scream really loud and you get other children that would hardly whimper. So we know them from young, but their personalities are there ready. And if we know the personalities, then we can actually bring that out in them and give them the tools to explore the things that they feel really associated to.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I'm just recalling details constantly. Anything aggressive or loud upsets my son. And we see it now. If somebody's tone changes in the room, all of a sudden he's crying. He could be off doing something else, but he feels that, and he's so sensitive, which is so beautiful. And it's so great to be aware of that, you know?
Yeah, it gives you the edge, doesn't it?
To
think a little bit differently to how we normally think, because let's face it, accepting that there's frequencies and colors around people is quite a tough ask, because
it's a big ask.
Yeah. If you say to somebody, oh, look, you've got a fantastic aura, or you've got this beautiful voice that shows in these colors, they're going to say to you, are you off your rocker? They really are. They think that you're a bit, you know, a few pennies loose. So if you can say it in such a way where it's put out there and it's shown in detail, because the reports are detailed, then it becomes credible. And that credibility allows people to trust it.
Exactly. That's how we would do it, actually. Where my in-laws, we had them read the kids, but first, in order to get them to understand, we sent them their sons, my husband.
Right.
We said, read this first.
Okay.
And they lost their minds, because there were things in there that only the two of them and I would ever know about him.
Right.
And so once they read it, it was confirmation, validation that this is really happening. You're really reading something here. There's something going on. And so then I could give them the kids' profiles, and they couldn't get enough. Right. But there was that, look, there's proof in the pudding. What can I tell you? It just is. Yeah. You're seeing it.
Yeah. That's what I say. Read the auras. Yeah. I mean,
just read them.
give me people that I don't know. Don't tell me, don't give me people that I know. Give me people that I don't know. And I'll write their profiles by the colors that are actually showing. And we will nail the person. We will get the person absolutely right.
Absolutely right.
And it's
and just always in messages of love. So there's nothing to fear, because I know that's, there was some reticence from my parents because they were worried about maybe something that would come across, but you are also a messenger of love, and your profiles are so beautiful and so thoughtfully worded that no one ever has to be afraid ever of what's coming. It's only going to be things that make sense and are described in a positive way and a true authentic way. And your authentic self, if you're listening, you're a being of love. You authentically love. Even if you think you're a bad person and you have shame about this and you judge yourself about that, that's all BS and inauthentic. I'm here to tell you that you're a being of love and you are perfection. So you do not have to worry about what's going to come across.
Exactly. And what we do is highlight the areas. Maybe there are some times where there's little concerns and things that we can see, and they can be pointed out because we're not perfection, but we are love.
Well, you and I will have a whole conversation about perfection. When I say perfection, I mean, even in what we perceive as imperfection, that is the perfection, that is all part of our journey here. I'm here to tell you there are no imperfections, even what you perceive. Listen, if my child, I don't know what their journeys are. If my child is here to be a serial killer, then that is in and of itself perfection. There's nothing I can do. It is what it is. My point being, we don't have all the information. We can't understand what anyone is ever here to do. But it is all in love. And so, yes, of course, what you're saying is true. We're, none of us are perfect, but I'm calling those imperfections perfection.
Yeah. Okay. We could actually, you know, cross-reference it with the Akashic record, you know, with the, that, which is in every book of every religion, the Akashic record is there. And it means that everyone's done everything at the same time. So we're going through multi-lifetimes all at the same time. And picking up the authenticity of a person is what their auras are. It's the authenticity of that person. And that's why it means so much, because it doesn't matter if you are in a life doing something that you don't want to do, or if you're in a life that you're doing something that you love doing. It's because we can see who you really, truly are. And you don't have to say anything. It doesn't matter what you do. You can be anybody. And that the aura will show you who you actually are. And that's something that people don't believe sometimes, because they have a very, very difficult or very, very tainted, or sometimes a very distorted view of their own selves. And it's become more and more, the more I look at social media and all the other places where people post up photographs, they're all doing it because they want to show an image of who they are.
The persona. Yeah.
The persona.
And everybody has limiting beliefs about themselves. Everybody sees themselves through a limited perspective. Again, if you had all the information, if you understood everything that was going on, you wouldn't see yourself as, I'm calling it, in a limited way. You would understand that you're limitless. You are eternal. You're a being of love. However, what's beautiful about these profiles is that you can see through, how people are perceiving themselves and their own limitations, which we all have. That's the design of the system.
Yeah. And what I like is when people actually have them, they read them, and then they give them to someone that's close to them to read.
Yeah.
Because I always believe that the person isn't always the best person to give them to. Not straight away.
I know, right. Because they may. No. There may be some resistance there and say, no, that's not me. Right. Because there's so many years of conditioning and defense mechanisms to deal with certain things.
Yeah.
Right. To say, no, that's totally you. That's exactly how I see you and experience you. Right.
I know. And I learned that really early on doing this, because I used to do it on stage. And I used to get the man and the woman, or, you know, the people in relationships up. And I used to get the other one to answer. So if I was talking about the woman, I'd get the man to answer, and then vice versa. So we'd have an authentic agreement or disagreement.
Yeah.
But we'd always have somebody who was rational, rather than telling somebody what they are. Because when you tell someone directly what they are within their energy fields, you do get the resistance sometimes. And
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I always like it when the partner says, wow, this is you.
This right. Is because you. People get protective about themselves. Right. So there's a defense mechanism. That is brilliant. I love it. I recommend anyone listening, get your profile read. You can visit Dominic at MindSite, right?
Yeah.
MYNDSITE.
That's right. .org.
.org. And you can sign up and actually go right through the website and get your own profile done. I highly recommend it. It has changed my life.
Well, that's wonderful. I love it when it actually has an effect. And it, every time I do one, it has an effect. And that's what's so beautiful about it. And I'm looking forward to teaching people how to read their own auras so they can do it themselves.
You got to teach me how to do that.
So important. I want the world to know, because I think it's all a part of being able to be connected to other people. Because if we can all read auras, then we're going to be able to spot where people are upset, where they're angry, where they're frustrated. And instead of actually getting all these wrong reactions and misreading the situations and the signs, people are going to be peaceful.
Yes, because you won't make it about, we all make everything about us. If someone is doing something or says something to you, we make it about us, whatever they're going through, or we interpret it through our own limited perspective. And it just becomes, I'm activating you, you're activating me, but we're really just dealing with our own thing. And so if we could see the truth in each other, then we could be more compassionate, be more empathetic, and we could, it will unite us and connect us.
And I'm sure that's what the world is going towards.
Me too. Sure, we agree.
Yeah, because the more that we're united, the easier it will be to be able to achieve the things we want to achieve. And then we'll be able to see people coming together and enjoying life.
Because let me tell you, words aren't going to cut it. Our words do not communicate enough of what we're trying to say, what we're feeling. But if you can see auras, if you could see each other, really see each other, that would transcend language.
Yeah. And everyone can. It's just being able to have that, first of all, the knowledge, because we brought up without the knowledge of being able to see anything like that. We think that auras are all part of a mythology, and they're not. They're vibration and their colors, and we can see them. And once we get that understanding that we can see them, we're going to start looking for them. We're going to start looking at the people closely, the people that we're dealing with, the pets, the animals, everything we'll see. And then we'll turn into a world of peace-loving people, because everyone will want what's peaceful. Well, what I hope, see, is that we all turn into peace-loving vegetarians that don't kill animals.
I think that's where humanity is going. We're definitely moving toward what you're talking about, toward harmony, toward peace, not everyone being the same, everyone being different and fitting together like a puzzle. Everybody fits perfectly together.
Yeah, because we're going to lose the need to be critical, and we're going to lose the need to be judgmental, and we're going to lose the need to actually try to put other people on pedestals, because all we're going to do is be able to live in a joyous, fun, and beneficial way to everybody around. And that is something that is just an amazing thing for me. Yeah, I mean, I love to see, again, the work, I could go into so much detail for you, but the work I love doing, I love seeing people matched up. I love seeing couples come together because their energy is right. And I know that they're going to do well together. And I just love to see the world a happier place because of being able to just do something very simple, which is something I do naturally, but something that can be taught. And as soon as people start to get the hang of it and start to understand it and start to look for it, then I think everything changes. I think it changes the whole vibration.
My last question I want to ask you about this in particular is, you were saying everyone can do it. If we're not used to seeing the auras, we're not seeing the vibrations, you can teach yourself how to open your mind enough to see it?
Yeah, I think you can. You already started because you feel it.
Yeah.
Every one of us feels somebody else's energy. Everyone.
There's the nonsense.
We all know how our wives and husbands feel, how our children feel, how our pets feel. We already know. Whether we embrace it or not, is another sense, because sometimes we're in our own little world that doesn't allow for embracing for other people's feelings, but we do it anyway. We already feel it.
It's the non-physical senses, and it's trusting and believing in what you're sensing, what you're feeling, what you're receiving.
Oh, you, Jackie, you know, if you come home and your husband's in a mood, you know.
Yeah, the whole energy of the house is different.
It changes, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And if you can see the colors, you'll see the colors. They get really thick. They get really a lot deeper.
Dense, right?
Yeah, dense. Yes. I didn't really want to use dense and your husband in the same word.
No, that's respectful.
But you understand.
Because the air, you know what? You've heard people say the air becomes thick.
Yeah, the atmosphere.
So that makes sense, that the colors would then get more
dense,
opaque, dense.
Yeah, that's right. And it's the same at a concert. If you're singing and you've got people, the electricity in the air becomes really static, doesn't it? You can touch it. It almost sparks when you're in a big audience full of people in a concert. You know, you go to a Bruce Springsteen concert and the energy is like bouncing, isn't it? You know, you can hear it bouncing off the ceiling. And that is, again, something that you can pick up on. So if you can pick up on atmospheres, you can pick up on colors and auras. There's no two ways you can't.
I love it. Thank you so much. We're going to learn how to see auras, you guys.
Yeah, come and talk to me. I'm always happy to share. And what I love to say to people is there's no secrets. Just come and talk to me. And I'll share it with anyone that wants to listen. If anyone wants to listen, I will share it. You know, you can go and buy my book as well if you want to, Aura Life in 4D on Amazon. That's been there for a few years now, and it's selling well, I must say. But it's out there if you want a sort of a quick startup guide to reading auras. But there's so much you can do. This is my other book.
Which I just pulled out Your Angels on Our Side. That was written by you and your wife. It was in the top drawer of my desk. Here it is.
Oh, right. Okay. That seems really strange to see that coming from you.
I'm like, here's your book.
Yeah, I thought you were a magician pulling it out of a hat.
I do magic.
Yeah, it is all magic. And in that book, by the way, there's lots of tales about aliens and UFOs.
And we're going to get to all of that. Listen, stay tuned, because we are going to talk about Dom catching different beings because he can read the aura. So he can tell you if an aura is not of this world. He can tell you if a robin is not really a robin because he knows the aura of a robin. So there's a lot of stuff, or some people don't have auras at all and what's going on there. So stay tuned for the next episode. We'll see you there. When we look at our lives, one